So if you guys did tune in to me trolling all the nerds on the meta show, you've probably seen a lot of the public-facing stuff. But one of the reasons why we do Firesides is between just us chickens here, we have an opportunity to go through some of the brass tacks of the war. I will give sort of a broad overview of how I think things are going and some of the things that we've been doing that I think are important. And then we will have some more specific lore of Starf. I have had a good day, and yes, I also know that's bingo bait, and it's on my bingo card, too. All right, so, overall, we're getting attacked by the entire galaxy. I am really surprised and really impressed by how well it's gone. Obviously I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys from a Fireside perspective in 2 weeks because of my move last weekend. And I was delighted by how well things have gone through that process. Obviously, if you're an Alliance leader in the middle of a hell war against the entire goddamn galaxy, it's a little stressful to be like, I'm going to be moving house and I don't know whether I'm going to have my internet working and is this going to be okay? But it worked out well. You guys held the fort and high fives all around. So I'm going to just zoom all the way out and give like a macro level summary and things. If you compare the way that things are going now, particularly during like Euro time zone and our vulnerability windows, to the early days of the war, when we were first tripping over ourselves of, stuff like getting down to TCAG firstus with the mostus, right? Like we were in the beginning of this process. Whenever you do something for the first time, whenever you have a new rhythm, mistakes are made, shit gets fucked up. We have drastically improved our defense of our space. We have done very well. We make fun of Legacy about how they're tired and they're not putting in the work. But the reality is, if you've been on the front lines every day, you've seen that these guys are constantly trying to get into our space. They are constantly trying to burn all of our shit down. And the reason why they have not succeeded is because you glorious motherfuckers have stopped them, right? In public, I want us to continue to make fun of Test for being a bunch of lazy fucks. But amongst us here on this Fireside, I want you guys to understand that the reason why these guys have not made progress is that you guys stopped them. You did it. You have continued to do it, and you've been getting better at it every day. If you compare our ability to coordinate and defend our battle space from like 3 weeks ago when the shit kicked off or whenever it was, because time's a blur during a war, but when we were first starting to learn how to defend our battle space and what the key choke points would be and getting people forming up quickly and dealing with hostiles doing flash forms and us learning how to counter flash form and all this stuff, I'm not going to say it's a well-oiled machine at this moment because there are still things that we can do to improve. But if you compare our effectiveness of our defense now compared to how it was when we first started learning how to defend in this war, we have improved significantly. And as we have improved, it has become less stressful for RFCs because line members are learning, like, you need to be ready to go. You need to be ready to, like, undock immediately and go. We've just gotten better at it. And that is reflected on the battlefield. The fact is that Test did succeed in taking XE-TAC from us, and we then ended up burning them out and kicking them out of our space. And it's been working pretty well. So as much as we make fun of Test for being lazy and not doing the work, the reality is that ProGod Legend has been getting up every day and like flipping his shit and doing flash forms and doing all the stuff to try to get into our space and ruin our shit, and we have stopped them. It's not all hunky-dory. Like, when you're in a hell war, like, it's just a battle of dick punches. So, like, we're going to get punched in the dick. We're punching them in the dick. Like, stuff's happening. Things are blowing up. But organizationally speaking, in terms of, like, the effectiveness and the efficiency of our defense, I'm really happy with what I've been seeing in terms of people doing the work. And when I say people doing the work, what I mean is, in a war like this, it's not just about working hard, right? You need to work smart. You need to find more efficient ways to do things. And that's one of the reasons why we're constantly spinning up new organizations. So you have things like GSFOE, which I'll be herfing glorfs about a little bit later. But that's an example of a completely new organization that we have developed, whereby we, I mean DeClorian Pilot and his awesome bunch of heroes, to take something that was extremely inefficient and difficult for us to handle in terms of the command layer. Because if you're tripping over yourself trying to figure out which node is where in a battle space where there's 15 different fleets active, it's hell. But we have GSFOE now, who has gotten ever better at just handling these things. So Yeah, there's like major improvements like that that we're like rolling out every day. Other examples are things like, you know, we have better carrier doctrines now. We had people just using fighters that they had, so that meant a lot of Templars. And now we are using fighters that are specifically designed to counter our enemies' doctrines. So that's kind of an important thing when you previously were using fucking Templars to shoot Munins, right? Like that's no bueno. So in every phase of like the first part of a war, we go through this process of optimization where we're like picking up low hanging fruit. We're like, okay, well, we can fix this. We'll get 5% here. We'll get 7% here. We're going to improve this. We're going to unfuck that. And it is a process, and it's a process that takes time. And conveniently, because we have gotten better at defense, we have been able to get that time. Partially, that's because our enemies sometimes just declare they're going to do move ops all weekend instead of like pushing us as hard as they could. Sometimes that's because they are pushing us as hard as they can, but we're stopping them because we're better at defense than they are at offense. And we are getting that time to continuously be improving aspects of our defense such that essentially every week you're dealing with a different version of the Imperium because we have new capabilities, we have new tactics, we are, I guess, you know, evolving, I guess you'd say. And I think that's really cool. Let me check my notes. Okay. Am I learning about the game? Yeah, I actually am. So it's kind of funny, like the bad guys, I started playing the game in client really hardcore at the Jeff deployment, like a month or two, I guess, before all the shit went down. And, you know, losing legions, and now I'm up to like losing my ha hacking dread and running around and doing stuff. So it has actually been super fun for me because like I have four accounts subscribed with like real money. And when the CCB did the whole like $40 like skill your characters thing, I was like, I'll throw $40 at getting a Bifrost hacker. We're going to do that. So if you've been playing, you've probably been seeing me on like recently I've been digging space trenches all night. I get together with the guys in Theta and we make sure the new ADM system we're using is working, which it is. So yeah, or overly sabering things because I'm too high and don't know how to operate a saber safely when I'm three edibles in. All right, so let me take a look at some of these other things. So in terms of the overall battle space, you guys are pretty aware of what's going on. We are going to be trying to do a better job from like the leadership layer of closing the loop narratively with what's happened each day. So one of the things that we want to do, we're not perfect at this yet, but we are doing like sit reps and handoffs between the shifts basically on the coordination team where it'd be like, okay, here's what happened in EUTZ, here's what happened in USTZ. And so what we are going to be doing more of is sending pings at the close of each time zone such that if you're logging on and you're checking out like, hey, what happened in the war today? You'll be able to read scroll back and say, here's this ping, this is what happened, and here's how your efforts fit into the larger narrative. Because you know, if all you're doing is running around on a drama fleet, and those are super fucking important because like blapping the hackers and collecting the headhunter bonus has been huge for the defense of all of our space. We want to make sure that the guys who are like running around doing one specific job very well understand how their efforts fit into the bigger picture. This is like task and purpose shit, basically. Like we want you to understand why we are asking you to do the things that we are doing and why your efforts matter, because obviously they do. Otherwise, we would have lost all of our shit. So that's going pretty well. So yeah, like we want to, you know, these are areas of like pickups and improvements. When the enemy, other things you can look forward to, is at the first phase of the war, the enemy was doing lots of flashforms and we had to get better at doing flashforms. And we did. However, increasingly, you're going to start seeing more traditional like opticker posts. So there'll be things in the opticker that you can look to on goonfleet.com. You can see when there are fracks and when there are ops. So we're going to try to make sure that ops are posted, even if it's just like our vulnerabilities open at this hour every day, be there and be ready. It'll make it easier for us to get more people in fleet with the right ships. Boulder has a question about, are we responding to how are we responding to all these things? The way that we're responding to the various hacks is that when you guys see a drama fleet ping, we cap them usually at 30. They're super important because, you know, those are the ways that we go off and we headshot hackers. Also, we have Spec Ops, which is a great little group that we've spun up during this process. Kind of like GSFOE, there are things like Spec Ops that are being created as a response to our needs in this war. Bad guys do things to us and we look at what they're doing. We try to optimize a way around it, break what they're doing, and then create a system that's part of the structure of the space empire such that that problem is consistently solved or at a higher rate of success than baseline. And we're going to be talking about active faxes here in a moment, because that is a pretty cool segue. Thank you, Mike Flood. So one of the things is this. Most of the time for our history, when we're using faxes, we've used buffer fit faxes, because most of the time in these big fights, which have not been happening in that same level in this war, because this is like a Fozzy-Sov hell war kind of situation, so there's lots of subcapital action. So we are pushing people into active rep faxes. Please get one if you can. There is a thread about it in CapSwarm with the fax bits. Actually, not in CapSwarm, in the fucking Fleet Doctrines forum. You can go see. I pinged it out yesterday. If somebody can be cool, find that and link the fax rep fittings thread, please, in Elysium. Anywho, so we're going to be doing that, because one of the reasons we need to use this is we have a localized cap advantage. Like, within our space, like when we're in TCAG, when we're on our side of the 49 TAC 407 gate gap, I should say, we can throw the heavy hardware around. Like, not always, not 100%, but it is a huge local advantage for us to be able to say, like, okay, here's a Baltec fleet, and it's got 10 faxes, bring it, bitch. And that's just way more effective. So we do want to do that. We understand that the active faxes have different rigs on them, so you can't just, like, tweak your buffer fax. Ideally, if you have only a buffer fax, if you can, get an active rep fax. It is cool and good. This is a huge advantage, especially when we're doing Citadel defenses. Like, when the bad guys get to the point that they are attacking our citadels and we are defending our citadels, then being able to, like, park a shitload of faxes on that citadel with a bunch of Baltecs is going to be super useful. So, yeah, there we go. Where are active faxes best staged? So that's a good question. I've been seeing in off-time zones. So one of the things about the big multicultural, multi-time zone space empire is that certain time zones have more or less of things that we need. And so, like, the picture in Euro time zone, like, we've been needing more recon dudes for Sinos in EUTZ, but in USTZ we have tons of fucking Sinos. So it's that kind of thing. I've been seeing in the off hours people asking questions about where their caps should be. So if you're in CapSwarm, which you need to be if you have a capital and you're asking questions about it, you can see in the MOTD, in the topic of CapSwarm Jabber, you can see where the caps are supposed to be. But in the off time zones, I've seen lots of questions about, like, where are the caps supposed to be? Well, that's the answer, is go look at the topic of CapSwarm Jabber, and it's right in there. There's one other thing to say here, is if you have spare dreadnoughts, like if you have a dread where they're supposed to be, and you have an extra dread, extra dreads can be parked in 1DQ1. We have random situations where we're, like, blowing up hostile, like, tower spam attempts or whatever. So your main dread should be where it is told to be in the CapSwarm Jabber MOTD. And then beyond that, spares, if you have an extra 1DQ1, is fine. Let me take a look at my notes. These are pretty gritty things, so, like, I do need to make sure I'm not telling you the wrong things here, guys. Let's talk about pod killers and stuff like that, since Mad Cow's brought it up. Also, congratulations to Mad Cow. Mad Cow's welcome back, and congratulations on stealing a levy from Test, which is hilarious because Red Lion 13 ran around like a little bitch claiming that it was something that, like, we totally did stages for morale, guys, as if, like, I don't really think we're having morale problems, so that guy can eat my ass. But it's pretty awesome that we stole. I don't know why they fucking left a levy just out there, but whatever, fuck it, it's ours now. So one thing that has been coming up in the big heavy tie-dye fights, I was answering a question about this in Elysium many hours ago, actually. In heavy tie-dye fights, you're going to hear FCs asking you to not shoot pods. There is a reason for that. If the enemy is in heavy tie-dye with our fleets and you shoot the pod instead of shooting the ship that the FC is asking you for, you are enabling that target to get potted out, and then they're in a system that does not have tie-dye, where they respawn, grab another ship, and get back into the tie-dye fight. So basically, look for, your fleet commanders will tell you when it is okay to shoot pods. Like, if we are at the point where, like, we have won and they want to clear the field and shoot pods, they'll tell you can go ahead and shoot the pods and it's fine. But that is why I want you guys to understand why we've been saying do not shoot pods. We're in the middle of a tie-dye fuckfest attrition warfare fight, because it just lets the enemy grab another ship and come back, when we would prefer that asshole either they have got a self-destruct and heavy tie-dye, which takes a long time, or they just have to sit there impotently, which is also hilarious. So there you go. Bruden is awesome, and I'm delighted to give him a shout out for helping out with the 49 gate camp. High fives all around. All right, so, yeah, and also probably the easiest thing to do if you have a problem with pods clogging your overview is, for fleet fights, just remove them from your fucking overviews. no, we're not implementing a fine system. We're not going to do some big complicated thing about it. We're going to tell you guys what to do. And the vast majority of you will do the right thing. And we're not going to like implement a whole big system policy, fine things, like police everything just because a few people won't be able to control themselves. We don't expect perfect compliance. Like when you have an organization with like 40,000 fucking people, you try to get the message across the right way and then you see what happens. And if most of you do the right thing, we're good. All right, let's see what we got. So after pimping active rep faxes, I want to pimp GSFOE. So offensive NTOSIS, again, it's something that maybe even just a handful of guys, and we have more than a handful, who know what they're doing with these NTOSIS, Chris Knife, Bifrosts are awesome. I don't know why puppies, I mean, I understand why puppies are calling it toasting. I hate it. We've always called it hacking. These are hacking ships. They are Chris Knives. So proceed accordingly. Apparently, I need to clear my throat. Hold on. If you run your mouth for like 5 or 6 hours at a go, eventually, phlegm builds up. Exciting. Let's see what else we got. Yeah, so GSFOE is huge because we are currently in a situation where obviously we have to do lots of defensive NTOSIS-ing, and GSFOE has optimized how to handle that. So it's like very well organized. There's like spreadsheets. DeClorian wrote probably the single most goon-proof guide I have ever seen in history. So if you join GSFOE and you get to see the Bifrost guide, where he literally spells out with MS Paint every single click that you need to make all the way through of how to get to a hostile target, NTOSIS it, and then get out if bad guys come. It is amazing goon-proofing and is well worth it. So if you're interested in doing NTOSIS Bifrosts, or if you're interested in getting involved in this, we also do Haw Hackers, which is just a ton of fun. Get involved with that. All right, let's see. Questions about Fountain. That's a good segue. Let me make sure I hit the Capstorm stuff, and then we're going to talk about Mad Cows stealing a levy. I talk about Test is not being lazy, it's that we've stopped them. Some stuff about moon renting that can wait. Okay, let's talk about Fountain. Or was that Bingo Bait? All right. So, as soon as the bad guys deployed to OPIB, Initiative had a very realistic understanding of the defensibility of North Fountain. They have very small lines of interior reinforcement from OPIB into North Fountain, they being the bad guys, and they are pushing in an intelligent way in there. It's sort of an interesting dichotomy, because on the one hand, Test is telling everybody that we are not helping our allies, even though we're sending fleets up there all the time. I mean, we literally cannot hack Initiative stuff for them, because that's how FuzzySoft works, right? For people that are new or just haven't dived into the horrors of the FuzzySoft system, basically, if you are an attacker, anybody can hack. But if you're a defender, only the defending alliance can counter-hack and do defense, which is one of the main reasons why most of the Imperium lives in Delve with Goonswarm-flagged iHubs, because we are the most numerous, and thus we have the most numerous for defense hacking. So the announcement that Sister Bliss posted about a week ago describing their defensive fallback plan, they are fortifying certain constellations in Fountain, and they are pulling back, I believe, over time. Sort of the idea is that over several weeks, they're going to try to make it as long and as painful as possible for the bad guys. And the bad guys this weekend are restaging in PNQY. So they are moving from OPIB into PNQY in Fountain, often referred to for obvious reasons as Pinky. And it's sort of a delay, deny, destroy sort of scenario. I mean, I think everybody has like, I'm not going to say the F word on this, but let's just say it's not the casino war anymore and the bad guys don't have an infinite ISK. So things are working out relatively well there. I mean, it sucks to see territory lost in North Fountain. It is a floodplain. If you bring up GARPA and you take a look at it, you can see on the map why certain areas are floodplains and certain areas are fortresses. As much as the pubbies spurg about this kind of thing, I think it's important for our guys to understand and learn how to read a map from a SOP perspective, because if those guys are going to be jacking off about like taking TCUs here, or like, hey, if you stage an entire coalition in Hop Hib, you can push into North Fountain. You know, it's fine if the bad guys don't understand it, but since we're on defense, we need to have a better understanding of how what differentiates, say, North Aquarius and North Fountain from areas that are more defensible. You're fighting the entire galaxy, so we are going to take losses, and I do want people to get used to that, because like, we're going to be at a point here soon. We have done very well in defending you know, sort of the main Imperium territory. However, that also means that like, we haven't experienced much in terms of like serious loss, and we are going to be experiencing serious loss just because it's a dick punching contest. And so like I said, when this thing started, like, we're going to lose keep stars. We're going to lose space. Things are going to get crazy. It's a defensive war against the rest of Even. We're outnumbered 3-1. And I want people to understand that, even though we have yet to lose keep stars, because it will inevitably happen. And I want you guys to have that baked into your brain, such that if we're like, okay, we're fighting here and we're falling back, we're fighting here and we're falling back, that is essentially how this is going to go until the enemy is made to run out of steam. And we are working on that by putting offensive pressure on them, by doing tower drop spam, by doing a number of various things. But I don't want people to look at how well we've been doing against Legacy and Test and just assume that this is going to be easy. And I haven't seen you guys talking about, oh, this is easy, oh, it's going to be a cinch, oh, you know, it's no big deal, right? Like, we can make fun of the bad guys, but the fact that there are like three of them for every one of us is just an ugly mathematical reality. And I want people to have their eyes on that ground truth, because there's going to be times where we fight on a keep star, where we fight on a Fortizar or whatever, and then it gets blown up and we retreat to the next one. We have like, what is it, like 66 fucking keep stars or something stupid like that? We have hundreds of Fortizars. Like, the amount of defensible citadels that we have is huge, which is why the enemy has primarily been focused on attacking things that are far away, or like blowing up stuff and cloudering and bragging about it on Reddit or whatever. How are we handling FC burnout? One of the things that's been really cool about this is that we have a huge bench of FCs. One of the things that we did in the Jeff deployment, we spent a lot of time working on developing like new skirmish commanders and like showing them the ropes and having the backseat system and really sort of establishing that we do debriefs after, and they had already been doing that, but like formalizing a system of how do we train up and coming skirmish commanders. And one of the things that has been really useful about this war for us is actually those drama fleets I was talking about before, because it is very easy for people who want to try to FC to take a drama fleet out, and like, worst case scenario, you lose 30 interceptors. Like, nobody gives a shit. Obviously, you want to stop the hacks, you want to do your job, but like, there are so many opportunities for fleets, for training, for people to get their experience that, you know, knock on wood here, I don't want to ruin this, but like, we haven't really been hurting for FCs. Now, coordinator burnout is something that's important. We're trying to make sure that we have teams of coordinators in all time zones, because this has become a fully international organization where we essentially are constantly engaging in some sort of military operation. Now, we are only defending our vulnerabilities in certain times because of the game mechanics, and that's how it works. But like, there's shit going on around the clock. So if you are interested in getting stuck in some capacity, there are opportunities for you, be that as an FC, be that as basically anything, you know, but I don't think that's a real problem. I'm giving a fireside here to 1,000 of you right now, and it's way later than a normal fireside. So like, on our side so far, I haven't seen engagement issues. I haven't seen morale issues. Like, you guys know that we've been like collecting skulls and like murdering puppies all day, every day for a couple weeks now, and we're getting better at it. We're visibly getting better at it. So like, it's cool. Like, we just have to keep killing puppies, and we have to keep doing it smarter and better, and keep looking for ways that we can optimize the puppy murder process. Alrighty. That's a very long appeal question about SRP that I'm sure Atrium will be delighted to read about. But I'm not going to read those words in the middle of a fireside. We will clean that up later. And or Atrium will send a ping making fun of you. I'm not sure which. Okay, let's see what else we got. Yeah, Black Hand has been fucking killing it. If there is a Black Hand recruitment thread, if we can link that. I see we already have Allied Scouts is recruiting. Scouts are huge in this. I mean, basically, everybody's been fucking kicking ass. In terms of, like, org-wise, almost every SIG or squad that I've had eyeballs on is really just, you know, people are, you know, this is it. This is as serious as it gets. And so people are really given 120%, and I love to see it. And we're visibly getting better at, you know, doing EVE Online stuff all day, every day. So the Black Hand, I can't actually talk about all the cool things the Black Hand has been doing, especially during a Hell War. But let's just say that we have probably the best intel picture that we've ever had. And you guys who are involved in the Black Hand know what I'm talking about. Like, shit is amazing. And there's never been a better time to get involved as a spy. Okay. Nat, are you here to talk about, like, this moon renting thing? He might be muted if he is. Oh, wait, this is a Tuzzy thing. I will deal with this later. I lied. Nat is here. He can deal with this. He just has to unmute himself.
Hello? Okay. So basically, you guys, if you're a moon renter, if you still have not gotten the ACL fixed and you want to keep your moons, you need to check Tuzzy's post in the policy forums on how to get that fixed. I've been trying to check them daily to get it updated. After today, probably, the Alliance is going to start looking at moons that have no fracks going, and we're going to potentially turn them into more public moons for the Alliance to mine. If we do take one of your moons, you can have it back later after the war. It's not permanent, but the fact that you're not fracking us tells us you probably don't want it anyway. So to avoid all that, get your ACLs fixed, start fracking on the moons you want to keep. Otherwise, for everybody else, expect more public moons to be available soon, with possibly getting cover and stuff, so people can have some ISK making opportunities, get some more T2 stuff being mined.
Yeah, we have, you guys have probably seen, we've been using some of the big boy toys when it comes to PvE that have turned out to have a very valuable strategic purpose. So when you're seeing ADM fleets and stuff like that, we have, like, cover fleets for ADM, and the space whales are bad action, let's just put it like that. If you know what's up in terms of roll call stuff, you know what's up, and it's been pretty fun. All right, hang on. Okay, let me just answer some fucking questions. I did see that, let's just cover this. I saw that, like, Tridget posted his, I made fun of them on the meta show about this, but he, like, posted some big Reddit thread about how they totally, like, stole all of our stuff yesterday. They did have a spy that went through and, like, stole a bunch of, like, ammo and bombs and stuff from our, it was, like, our renter level ACL. So, like, we did a bunch of ACL work. But that was, like, 2 weeks ago. And so he posted this big thread that he was going to, like, claim that he did it yesterday or something. But that happened several weeks ago.
It was a long time ago.
It was, in wartime, it feels like it was fucking forever ago. I don't even know. It was, yeah. Oh, shit, because, like, 2 weeks ago was me still packing for the move. This was, like, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Like, they did this right at the very start of the war.
Yeah, I think it was late June. Or maybe very early July at the latest. Are they saying it happened yesterday?
Oh, I thought he was saying something or other about, I only read, like, the first three words of the thread and then fucked off. It was, like, something about, like, what is it? June 24th, 2020. Oh, it's July. Right, of course. It was a month ago. So he was right on the date, I guess. I just didn't read it right because I don't know why you'd wait a month to brag about something on Reddit.
So
but whatever,
they did it again 2 days ago. So it's very important that if you are anybody with corporation ACL roles, you guys are auditing your ACL stuff according to the wiki instructions. And if you don't know, please ask GSOL, because it happened because of ACL fuck-ups. So it's on you guys at this point.
Yeah, there was a, so, like, main Alliance sort of stuff, we fixed the ACLs and plugged that hole. And apparently they got, like, some member corp Citadel that, we're messing around with its fighters from... Fuck, I already forgot the corp. It doesn't really matter. But yeah, like, make sure that you guys have your member corp ACLs unfucked and ask GSOL for help if you are confused by that, but it looks like that's already been sorted out by the Kremlin, so... Let me take a look at some of these comments. On Talking Stations, Killaby said that they don't want big fights on weekends because they can't predict numbers. What's my take on that? Whatever. Like, what's he gonna do? Like, yeah, that sounds like he just doesn't want to have to dock up his faction titans again. Any other entities shown interest in joining the fight on our side? Yeah, like, we have had a number of, I mean, not really since the battle lines were formed. Like, you've been seeing Pinnace out. Like, Wangs has been giving the bad guys lots of trouble in their backfield over the last couple weeks. We've been working with Fair Victrix and Good Sacks on the regular. You know, there are a number of entities that are involved, but in terms of like big block level kind of groups, well, we're fighting all the other big blocks, right? So it's not like, there's not too many people that are unaligned in this war. So that's one of the reasons why we're working on optimizing all of our shit, because it's like, you know, I'm not going to sit there and go like, ooh, wow, well, if we can get this random group of puppies to come join us on the other side of the galaxy, it'll flip things around. I have been very impressed with what I've seen from Wangs. Like, basically just watching the enemy freak out because Wangs has been, like, doing shit in Esoteria is hilarious. Yeah, the Coronon also brings up the lancing whiff, which was hilarious. Apparently Tess does not know how to lance. All right, let's see. I mean, I think it's kind of strange that they're saying that they're trying to not do things on weekends because our enemies are historically weakened warriors, and like, they typically herf more and get more dudes on weekends compared to us, because actually, I guess, you know, before the pandemic, we would be not really doing as many things on weekends because we would be off like partying and clubbing and fucking and doing drugs and having fun. But with a pandemic, you know, I suppose maybe his concern is reasonable, whatever, but we expected them to be pushing more on weekends instead of doing fucking move ops. I'm happy to fight these guys primarily on weekdays. But if they're going to be lazy and not do things on weekends, I mean, hell, we fought them all day today, right? Like, you know, whatever. This whole thing really isn't about Killaby anyway. He just seems to like try to get on talk shows and like get people to remember his name, because who cares? Mad Cows, that's actually the secret to my success, is I eat whatever that weird, like, bone broth thing is that makes you, like, four times as smart. All right, let's see what we got. That is not true, guys, by the way. If you're random and don't know what I'm talking about, you know, if you buy things from InfoWars, you'll probably end up poisoning yourself. Do not do that. It is hilarious that people buy that shit, though. Like, it is genuinely, like, you know, as somebody who had a bad nootropics habit back in the day, like, you know, all the Racetam drugs and the Racetams and, like, Nupept and stuff like that, when I saw some of the ads for the, like, Alex Jones nootropics, I was just like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, you're not even Googling the basics. Okay. Guy Games asks, Vili says that the effort of the grind will blah, 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 blah. Vili says some stuff. Is there any shred of credibility? I mean, that's up to you guys, right? Like, does Vili have credibility over, like, your morale, your effort level, your desire to defend your space and your people against this horde of fucking puppies? I don't know. You have to decide that. You have to decide for yourself whether you are committed to victory. I am committed to victory because this is about the easiest win there is. We're going to lose some shit, but if you think about it, they have declared that, yet again, making the same mistake that Sir Molly did, there are no goons goodbye, and that they are going to spend their every last breath to kick us out of the game and get us to quit playing. Well, we know that that is not going to work out very well. It also pisses our dudes off. So I haven't really been seeing anything from the test side of the aisle that is even vaguely victory shaped for them. Yeah. Credibility also kind of requires a spine, which is something that Vili lacks. Let's just say I've been very disappointed in him. I thought we trained him better. All right, I'm going to take a few more questions here, guys. And also, if you're like a Euro and you've been up all night and you want to, you know, take off, You are more than welcome to. We need people to be well rested, right? So this is the thing. It is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So that does mean it's important to make sure that you are, where possible. If you are feeling burned out, like we have developed like this very deep bench of support structures and systems such that we're not relying on any one person for anything. So if you're like, hey, you know, I need to get some sleep tonight, get your fucking sleep, because we're going to need you in the days and weeks to come, right? I want people to learn how to manage their effort on this such that we can be reliable and dependable and consistent when we're making predictions about how we're going to defend this or that, right? So like, if you flame out and burn out and freak out, you're not going to be any good to anybody. So like, it is important that you make sure when you are doing this thing, that you are thinking of it in terms of a span of months and not in terms of like, I'm just going to stay up for 3 days and then have a nervous breakdown. Don't do that. All right. People are asking me questions about like diplomatic or meta nuances between, creating tension between groups that are nominally allied, which is an entirely reasonable question. And since it is a reasonable question, you will also understand precisely why I'm not going to answer it on a fucking fireside. So it's a good question. And if you're smart enough to ask a question that is as good as that, you would also understand that why I wouldn't spell it out in front of 1,000 people. Right. Like, it is a good question. It is certainly a reasonable tactic. I would never say anything about it in public, but good on you for thinking that way. Also, I know a bunch of you are baiting for future plans, bingo square, so I'll just give it to you guys now. We're not going to talk about future plans like that on our fireside. There you go. You can check that off. I probably already handled that earlier, but you never know. All right. Okay, eVegas. eVegas does, that's a good question. It looks like the Vegas casinos have left Hyper, let Hyper and them off the hook for their funding. Like, one of the challenges we had there was that basically there's a fucking pandemic and the Vegas casinos were basically saying, Hyper Viper, you're going to be on the hook for like an insane amount of money if you don't force people to come there and like go to Vegas during a pandemic. So it was, I believe, over last weekend, or maybe it was just 3 or 4 days ago, time is a blur. There was a post from the eVegas guys basically saying that like they're canceling and refunding. And obviously now that our guys are going to be whole and that the Vegas people are not going to try to ruin everything, we don't have to worry about that as much anymore. So obviously like going to Vegas during a pandemic would be a terrible idea. And now that Hyper Viper is going to be made whole, we will hope that the pandemic is not there in October, but if it is, we are not going to die about it. If we have suspicions of a potential spy, who's the best person to contact? Contact and nominate. He is the director of Goonfucker Affairs. Please say the phrase Sino Bounty. There you go. So, also, Cryo has been a fucking hero when it comes to art. And I really loved that skull collection item that he did. If Vegas is canceled this year, then don't worry. When there is no pandemic, we will simply party 3 times as hard to make up for it. We have a reputation to uphold, after all. Okay. It looks like that's it in terms of questions. I think we've hit most of the big ones. Things are going pretty well. The main thing is, again, guys, so just keep doing the work. Probably one of the biggest things is to make sure your ships are ready to undock the moment you see a broadcast, right? Like basically at the end of an op, when you dock up, instead of just like, you know, staggering off and passing out, make sure that you have shit ready to go for multiple doctrines such that when we do see Progod Legend like flash forming for the 5th time today because he thinks he's going to do good things in TCAG or whatever, that we're able to just immediately undock and go and get there, because speed is very important in controlling the battle space in a war like this. And yes, there is going to be SNS, and I will probably end up, I've talked so much today, I think I'm just going to like get into orbit high such that I don't really have to talk too much on SNS and just like listen to Mind One do his thing. But yeah, we're going to have Mind One tonight, almost certainly. Please be around for that. And usually the bad guys will do something during our Saturday night parties because they're lame and they don't have DJs and they don't have fun the way that we have fun because they're frankly losers and my good boys or whatever the fuck those fedora wearing nerds are. Puppies. Yes. Yes, they are. So thanks for coming and let's get back to kicking ass. Keep on keeping on. We're going to keep doing the work. We're going to keep doing the work and we're going to win this thing. So let's get back to it. I will see you all on SNS if you come, and if not, I will see you all in Fleet, and we will probably be digging. I mean, you know me, at like a certain point, late U.S. time zone, I'm high as balls digging space trenches out there in a Rorqual somewhere, so I will see you in Fleet.